My title this evening, or the theme of my message, is the first youth or young person to rebel against his parents and to reject God. The first young person to rebel against his parents and to reject God. I am referring, of course, to Cain, the first son and the oldest child of Adam and Eve, our first parents. Now, though Adam and Eve were guilty of bringing sin and its consequences into the world, and though by their sin they ensured that all their offspring would have and inherit a sinful nature, and thereby they would be sinners born into this world with their back toward God, a rebellious heart, and a sinful nature. Though Adam and Eve were guilty of bringing sin into the world and ensuring all their offspring would have a sinful nature, yet Adam and Eve were forgiven for their sin. They were saved from their sin, and they were brought back to God and into a right relationship with God. That is pictured and it is presented in the final part of the third chapter of Genesis. After Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord gave them that wonderful promise in the Garden of Eden, recorded in verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And there the Lord reminds the devil there would be born of the woman a champion, as Spurgeon described him. A hero, the hero born of woman, would crush the head of the serpent. And this seed of the woman would be Jesus Christ. This is the first promise in all the world and in all the Bible of a Savior. The Lord promised Adam and Eve a Savior would come into the world who would destroy the works of the devil and would deliver mankind from his sin. Then in verse 21 of the same chapter, you have a wonderful picture of the gospel. For there in chapter 3 in the verse 21 it says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Remember how when Adam and Eve sinned they were naked. They were ashamed of their nakedness, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons to cover their nakedness. But when the Lord came into the garden, he took the animal and he slew the animal, and the blood was shed, and he made from that animal coats of skin. And it's a picture of the gospel. In our sin, we can't save ourselves. We can't hide or cover or atone for our sins by the works that we can do. But the Lord has provided through his sacrifice on the cross. He's the Lamb of God. He's provided atonement or a covering for our sin that saves us. And when Adam and Eve were covered or clothed in the garments Christ gave, it's a picture of the sinful soul believing in Christ and being clothed in the garments of Christ's righteousness and being saved from sin. And we have every reason to believe and understand that Adam and Eve, though they fell, though they plunged humanity into sin, they were forgiven. They were brought back into that right relationship with God. They were saved. That means that in the process of time, whenever Eve conceived, brought forth a son, called his name Cain, and then she bare again his brother Abel. There is a thought here that Cain and Abel were twins. It tells us that she conceived and bare Cain, but it just tells us in verse 2 that Eve again bare. There's no mention of conception, so men have thought and considered that perhaps they were twins. Then She brought forth these boys. They were brought up by believing parents. And yet as we read Genesis chapter 4, we discover that one was saved, one was lost, one was redeemed, and one was a rebel against God. And tonight, for the time we have available to us, I want us to consider Cain and how he was the first young person to rebel against his parents and to reject the God of his father and mother, and how he lost his soul. I want you to notice firstly tonight, I want you to notice Cain's religion. Look at verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4, and I want to just highlight a little part of it. I want to highlight that little phrase, Cain brought. And then the final little section, an offering unto the Lord. Cain brought an offering unto the Lord. Cain was not an atheist. He did not deny, and he didn't doubt the existence of God. He accepted there was a God in heaven. He accepted that the Lord had created all things. And we have to ask ourselves the question tonight, where did Cain receive his knowledge of the Lord? He had no Bible. Where did Cain receive his knowledge from the Lord? And the answer, the only conclusion that we can come to, is that there was no one else to teach Cain and his brother Abel the things of the Lord other than his parents. What a striking lesson and solemn message and responsibility it places upon those of us who are Christian parents and believing parents. For it reminds us that we have a responsibility to teach our children in the ways and the things of the Lord. And that's what Adam and Eve did. As those children, as those boys grew up, they taught them in the ways of the Lord. It's good to send our children to the Sabbath school, the children's meeting, and the youth fellowship, and the Bible class of the church. And I exhort you, whatever influence you have on your children and your grandchildren, send them to those things in the church. But I remind you, parents and grandparents, we need to endeavor to be an influence upon our children in the home while we walk with them in the way. Seek to instruct them and teach them in the ways of the Lord. What did Adam and Eve teach Cain about the Lord? Well, they taught Cain that God was to be worshipped. He brought in verse 4, verse 3, he brought an offering unto the Lord. God was to be worshipped. Now, they taught him when the Lord was to be worshipped. Do you see there in verse 3 at the first part of the verse? In the process of time, if you have a margin in your Bible, you will see that that phrase could be translated in the process of time or at the end of days. And the idea is it was at the end of the days of the week. Do you remember that when God created the world, He created the world in 6 days. And the seventh day He rested, and the seventh day was to be the day of worship in the old economy, in the Old Testament times. And the thought is here that at the end of the days of the working week, Adam, Cain and Abel would have been out doing their weekly, their daily employments, their tasks and their duties. And at the end of the working week, they brought the offering unto the Lord. They came to the place where they would worship the Lord. And so we have every reason to believe that Adam and Eve taught Cain when he was to worship, he was to worship the Lord publicly on the Sabbath day. And then you'll notice from verse 3, they taught Cain who he was to worship. He brought an offering unto the Lord, that is Jehovah. Cain was not coming to worship an idol or an image or a false prophet or a god of his imagination. He knew that there was one God, the Creator and Lord of all. Jehovah was his name, and he came. Why? Because we can say Adam and Eve had taught him that on the Sabbath day in the public place at the altar, he was to come to worship the Lord and the Lord alone. And then if we look at verse 3 again, and really I'm just outlining this for you tonight, for our time is pressing on, but you'll notice that they taught him how he was to worship. He was to bring an offering. And I think I can go a little further than that. I think they taught him that he was to bring an offering, and it was to be an offering with blood. How did Abel know that when he came to the altar, he had to bring the lamb and the blood had to be shed, and God accepted him on those grounds? It was because, surely, as mother and father, as boys, as young children, they would have come on the Sabbath day to the altar with Adam and Eve, and there Adam would have made his sacrifice, and the blood of the Lamb would have been shed, and it was offered as a sacrifice and an offering unto the Lord. And I can picture it there as Cain and Abel as children, and then they come into their teenage and youthful years. They're attending with mum and dad there to the altar, and the offering is made, and they're getting a glimpse and an understanding and a teaching of what it is to worship the Lord. But when we come to verse 3, in the process of time, at the end of days, the boys now, they've come to maturity. They have come to adulthood, and they must bring their own offering and their own sacrifice. And Cain, we're told, he brings an offering of the fruit of the ground. It's a bloodless offering. It's a bloodless sacrifice. And it signifies that Cain wanted God to accept him on the basis of his own works. Because Cain was the tiller of the ground. And when he brought in the harvest of crops and fruit and vegetables, he brought it to the altar and he presented it before the Lord. He wanted God to accept him on the basis of his own efforts and his own labors and his own works, the works of his hands. And I make the point again this evening. Cain did not deny the God of his father or his mother. He didn't deny his existence. He didn't mind going once a week to the place where they publicly worshiped the Lord. He didn't mind being involved in some type of religious service that in name worshiped the true God, but he didn't want salvation by the blood. Do you know why? Because when a sinner believes in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse them from all sin, the blood applied by the Spirit to the heart and to the soul, the blood washes the sinner clean. The blood cleanses the sinner. The blood changes the sinner and brings that man or woman into not only a right relationship with God, but has a desire to serve God, a willingness to obey God, a desire to surrender unto the Lord. That's what salvation by the blood means and does. I wonder, is there anyone, and I'm not just talking to the young people now, Maybe there's an older person and I'm describing you. Your parents have taught you the truth. From your mother's knee you could quote John 3:16. How God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to the sacrifice of the cross to shed His blood, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have eternal and everlasting life. You've known it from your mother's knee. You don't deny the existence of God. You know there's a God in heaven and He's the God of Israel. He's the God whose name is Jehovah. He's the God of the Bible. You're happy even with a form of religion, to come now and again or occasionally to the house of God, to a public place of worship. But in your heart of hearts, you're rebelling. You're rejecting the gospel of salvation by the blood of the Lamb of God, sacrificed at Calvary. I wonder, am I describing you tonight? If I am, then listen to my second point and my second thought for how solemn it is. I want you to see not only Cain's religion, but I want you to see Cain's rejection. Look at verse 4. It tells us in Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 4 that by that sacrifice he obtained witness that he was righteous. Abel was justified. Why? Because he had faith in the blood. The blood of the Messiah and Redeemer that was foreshadowed in the sacrifice of the Lamb. But look at verse 5. But unto Cain and his offering he had, that is God, had not respect. That closing phrase of verse 5 tells us that God did not accept Cain because he did not accept and could not accept Cain's offering and his sacrifice. Let me remind you this evening and say in very plain and clear terms, God accepts, God saves, God justifies no one except on the grounds of the blood of the Lamb. And when He saves you by the blood, I repeat, He cleanses you, He makes you a new creature in Christ. But He saves no one except upon the grounds of the blood. And when the sinner believes and receives, their heart, their soul is washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb. Though the world, listen, though the world may say there is hope some other way, we're depending on the blood, and if you're depending on anything other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed at Calvary, foreshadowed in the Old Testament by the sacrifices of the altar, if you think you can be accepted any other way, God will reject you, just as He rejected Cain. What are you trusting on tonight for your soul salvation? Is it the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? But let me also state that God did not fully and finally reject Cain until after a period of much striving. As you read on down the chapter, we didn't take time to read down to verse 16, but if we read from verse 6 to verse 16, we discover the Lord strove with Cain. We discover that He spoke to Cain. You'll see in verse 6 that He challenged Cain. He asked him the question, "Why art thou wroth?" Cain was angry that God would not accept him for, or upon the basis of what he had did. He was angry that God didn't accept his offering. There are people tonight, and when you tell them their own efforts aren't good enough to get them into heaven, they're just like Cain, they get angry. Even in his anger and his hatred of God, the Lord challenged him and spoke to him, and he asked him, "Why art thou wroth?" He challenged him about his sacrifice, the sacrifice. You'll notice in verse 7, he exhorted Cain, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." The Lord was saying to Cain, "Come to me by faith on the basis of the blood sacrifice, and I'll accept you." And he's exhorting Cain to faith in the sacrifice, and to do right, and to come on the basis of the blood. He would accept him. What an invitation. What a statement. The Lord was willing to accept Cain if he came the right way. And he's exhorting him. And he's challenging him. I wonder tonight, is God convicting you of your sinfulness? Is he challenging you? Come on the basis of the blood, and I will accept you. You'll notice the Lord not only challenged and exhorted Cain, but even after he committed that horrendous murder of his brother, and we don't have time to go into it in any depth, but I think you know the story well. He was so angry, he decided if he couldn't get back at God, he would destroy his brother who was accepted. And so he rose up. He lured his brother into the field, and he rose up and he smote him and he killed him. And even after he killed his brother, the Lord spoke to him, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Verse 9. He convicted Cain of his sin. That's how the Lord convicted Adam and Eve of their sin, his mother and father. He came down into the garden and he asked them, "Where art thou?" He asked a question, and he's asking Cain, "Where's your brother?" He's wanting him, and he's reminding him, "You killed him, you slew him, you buried him, you've broken my law, you're a sinner." Is the Lord speaking to you? Is he asking you the question, "Where will you spend eternity?" Is he asking you the question, "Is thy heart right before God?" He sought to convict Cain of his sin. And yet, how different Cain's attitude was to the question and to his mother and his father's. For when the Lord asked Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" they came forth, and eventually they confessed their sin, and they were forgiven of their sin, and they were clothed in the garments that the Lord had given them. And it's a picture of being clothed in the garments of salvation. But Cain continued to reject the Lord. And you'll notice that he denied, "I know not." He lied to God. You know, we should not be surprised when men lie into the faces of the judge in the courtroom. For here's Cain, and he could lie into the very face of God. The Lord told him, after striving with him, "Cursed art thou." The Lord challenged him. The Lord exhorted him. The Lord convicted him. But when Cain persisted in his sin, the Lord stopped striving with him. And he rejected Cain. Is the Lord striving with you in recent days? Heed the warning from the days of Noah. "My spirit shall not always strive with man." And there came a time when God stopped striving with Cain. And he challenged him. And he exhorted him. And he rebuked him. And he convicted him no more. There could come a time in your life and in your experience, and how solemn it would be, if the Lord stopped striving, stopped challenging, stopped convicting you of your sin anymore. For you would
have no hope of heaven and no hope of getting right with God even while you live in this world. Cain's religion, listen, he didn't deny the Lord, but he wanted the Lord to accept him some other way. Cain's rejection, because he rejected the way of the blood and he rejected the strivings and the entreaties of the Lord. God rejected Cain. And I want, thirdly and in closing tonight, to draw your attention to Cain's ruin. I want you to look at some of these verses in closing. Look at verse 12 and 14. When the Lord rejected Cain, his life was aimless. Look at what the Lord says. Just look at verse 11 and passing. Now art thou cursed from the earth. And in verse 12, the Lord tells him, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Cain was rejected to a life of wandering from the Lord. And his life became aimless, pointless. And in the light of eternity, how aimless it was. A fugitive and a vagabond. You'll notice that his heart was godless, verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He departed from the Lord. And he lived without God. But then can we say that his eternity was hopeless? For look at verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Young people, older folk, that's a reference to eternity. It's a reference to the punishment that God inflicted upon his sin. Do you know how I know that? Cain did not receive justice, as it were, from the hand of man in this life. He was not tried. He was not sentenced in this world before man for his crime against his brother. It does not seem to appear to be the fact that in this early part of the world's history, that there was a civil judicial system. And Cain just went out and he knew his wife and she conceived and he had a son and he had a family and they built a city and he seemed to just get on with his life. But the Lord had judged him. You know, there are people, and I believe there are multitudes of them, and they escape the justice of men in this life. They will not escape the justice of God in the life to come. And though Cain went out from the Lord, and though he seemed to just live a normal life, he had rejected God. God had abandoned Cain. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And tonight I have to tell you, Cain is still enduring the punishment of God for his sin. Where is Cain tonight? The Bible leaves us in no doubt. For in the book of Jude and in the verse 11, we read, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain. They have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. There's three men who went to hell. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. The Bible is clear. Cain lost his soul. My friend, he didn't lose his soul because he murdered his brother.
You can be forgiven for that crime. You can have peace with God. You can be saved from that awful sin. Cain went to hell because he rejected God and he rejected salvation by the blood. And he died in a state of sin and rebellion. And he lost his soul. And that's what he meant when he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. And he's still bearing it in a lost eternity tonight. The first, and I'm finishing now, and I'm finishing where I started. The first young person to rebel against his parents and reject the Lord. I say to the young people before me tonight, if your parents are saved, if you're brought up in a gospel preaching church, you thank the Lord for it. Don't reject your heritage, your privileges. Don't turn against them. But embrace the Lord as Abel did. Believe in that salvation through the blood. Because I tell you, if you reject the Lord, maybe there's an older person here tonight, and you're still in your sin, but you can remember how you were taught the gospel. It's not too late to get right with God. Come to Him. Trust in Him now. Receive His salvation through the blood. I tell you, rather than rebelling, rejecting the Lord and perishing in eternity, you'll take your place in heaven with the Lord and with His people, and you'll be saved for time and for eternity.